Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, for a show that's like an interactive touchy book where every page is a different texture. And you can smell some of them and they smell like something. You can touch some of them and they touch like something. And when you're done, you can eat the book. And it should give you adequate nutrition to carry you through the rest of the day. Kiana Silk Shirts. Meningitis. A ball python. Depression. I know what all those feel like. Oh my goodness, I think I am good at feeling. I'm so good at feeling that if they had a game show based on the book Pat the Bunny, I would be the world champion. I'd be up there for the big money, feeling, okay, that's kind of scratchy. That's daddy's beard. Oh, who's your daddy, Richard Nixon? That's a very short beard. That's just stubble. Well, daddy had a couple rough nights out there, and now his face, it feels like sandpaper. In fact, daddy would come home with his sandpaper face and we'd say, I'll tell you what, you can barely stand, so why don't you just lean against that piece of antique furniture that we want refinished and perhaps your face will take some of the old finish off of it like sandpaper. And then daddy says, then you want me to put some tongue oil on it? No, that's spelled differently, but thank you. Oh, see what feelings can do. We don't like them sometimes because they get in the way. But I, my friends, am a feeler. Oh, I really feel that way, that I'm a feeler. What's a feeler? Well, you're used to it from the top of insects' heads, right? That little fleshy appendage right there. I'm one of those. And say, oh, I don't want the whole world to feel like I'm standing on the head of a bug. Yes, but then the other feeler leans over and goes, hey, I'm in the same boat. There's another one of us. Yes, we're both feelers. And we both look down and say, I wish I was a fierce mandible that was crunching the legs off of another type of bug. Oh, how horrible. I don't want to do that because, again, I'm a feeler. I like to keep people from bumping into things. That's what I want to do. If the world is an insect head, maybe us who feel things are what keeps it from running into, I don't know what, like a carnivorous plant or something. Who knows the good we can do just by feeling things. Say, oh, Hardy, it's so difficult. That's why I'm here to help you out. Oh, we're going to lift each other up today as we feel things together. You know, early man thought that the entire universe was happening on the back of a bug. And this is understandable because insects are remarkable creatures, and they may even be superior creatures. We do not know. The lowly ant burrows into the ground and creates a maze of tunnels. As E.O. Wilson has told us, ants live underground. He discovered that. And how do they know what they're doing under there? Well, they don't exactly, because this is what they do a lot of times. They will, to get the landscape of a ant colony tunnel area, that's a hard thing to say, but that's scientifically what it's called. They'll pour something into it to make a cast. Not like plaster. They're not plaster casters. It's more like a Cynthia molten lead caster. Ooh, I'm glad that didn't happen. But that's what they do. They pour molten metal down these ant holes, right? And then they dig it up and they go, oh, look at this beautiful ant hole with all the ants have been fried away. I guess it'd be like pouring molten metal into your house and say, oh, look at this split level 60s home cast we have. It doesn't really tell you much because the ants could be in there constructing all types of flying cars and things like that. And we never see it because we have burned it away with our curiosity. Rather than just be curious, we should try to feel things. That leaves them intact. You know what I'm saying? I was traveling, and gosh, I like to talk about traveling a lot. I just traveled to New Jersey to talk about traveling. Isn't that meta? Then I traveled back to talk to you about traveling and my travels. It's all like a big echo with me, isn't it? So, traveling. What was I saying? I don't even know what I was saying. I traveled so far. Sometimes you travel off the path. Say, I'm going to go off this beaten path. And the signs will say, don't leave the path, don't leave the path. And you will, and you'll leave it. You say, I want to explore. I want to know what's going on. I want to feel. And you fall right down an ant hole. There you go, where you're feeling. And then, oh, the ants. They are strong. They're so strong. And you know this if you run into one in a gym. They're always, oh, how much can you press? Go, not so much, you know. How about you? I can press a leaf or a raisin. Well, that's really impressive. Oh, my goodness, that you're able to do that. But see, I can't. I can't lift my own weight. I'm not super strong. I'm not super smart. But I think nature has given me another skill, and that is to be easily hurt by people or by situations. How can I use that? How can I make that a superpower? Easily slighted, wounded man. I'm sure I can turn it around. Everything that you can imagine can be, I think, turned into an advantage. How is that possible? Give me give me like an hour, because let me think about it. Again, I have to feel. I have to put out my feelers, and I have to touch. Say, don't touch me. Now, that's going to be difficult, not touching you. I was in France traveling, and went to one of these caves with stalagmite and stalactite, my two friends. They're in a little comedy group, and one of them would hang from the ceiling, and the other one would stand on the floor, and they would touch their heads together, and they would say, I don't know, they would sing something about limestone. So I went to these caves. Now, I'm used to caves here. We have caves in the United States with stalagmites and stalactites and dead bodies of Civil War soldiers and things like that. I might be thinking about Land of the Lost. But in this cave, the tour guide said, hey, look how smooth this feels. Touch the stalagmite. And I'm thinking, you're kidding me, because we're not allowed to touch anything over here. Just touch with your eyes or something, they say. Well, that's not going to... I'm going to try to put my eyeball onto the stone, but that hurts. No, don't do that, because it'll damage it, and then it won't be there for the future. And I think the attitude with the French is, future smuture. Who knows what's going to happen? That's why there's so many cave paintings in France, because they don't care. They say, well, I'm just going to deface this cave. And so the graffiti there goes back literally tens of thousands of years. It's pretty amazing. I'll tell you what, just for charcoal or something, now they go, y'all are spending so much money on spray paint, don't bother. You can use charcoal. Just take a torch from the fire and go in the cave and do that. Bless your heart and leave your tag. But they had us touching things. And I said, this is remarkable, because now I get to actually touch this stalactite. Or, again, stalagmite. Now, they even had, and I might be making this up, but I think there was somebody made like an organ that would strike the different stalagmite. If I say this one more time, isn't there a hanging rock cone or something? But they make a boom, they make a tone when you hit them, just like people. Except the tone you hit people is more like thunk. But they make a tone. I think somebody developed an organ where you could play a cave. Oh, that appeals to me, doesn't it? Say, oh, play a cave as if it were an instrument. I thought bringing a double bass to band practice was hard. Try dragging a whole cave. I can't play with y'all. You're going to have to come to me. No, forget it. That's like the pipe organ player in our group was always like, please, can't you come to the cathedral? So, no, man, can't you bring it here? I could, but it would a year and a half for me to set up. Well, that's worse than the drummer. Don't bother. That's why I used to have a rock group with E. Power Biggs. But he never, again, he wouldn't come to practice. So we like kicked him out. It was funny. We'd still take his check for the practice space rent. Were you ever in a band where you actually lost money? Because every band. Okay. But because the practice space rent, they're always trying to get that from you. And you go, but we're not playing any gigs. How is this going to come back? Can't we just play in a living room? Why would we hire? It's like having an office when you don't have a business. If you're in a band and you're paying for practice space rent and you're not making any money on your shows, stop practicing. What's the point? Just go to the show. At least you clear some money out of it. Nobody cares if you're good or not. Oh, it depends what genre, I guess. But my favorite genre is suck. That's the kind of music I like to play. Low expectations, low equipment things, and my equipment doesn't have to work correctly because I just go by feel. I say, hey, the music is going to be how close does my communication match what's in my heart? And then people get that. And you can do that with the most humble of instruments, like, say, tinfoil, just a piece of tinfoil rubbing on your teeth. No, that doesn't do. Oh, I made y'all cringe, didn't I? It's funny how some sounds like that will make a person cringe. They say that fingers on a chalkboard, the reason that sound gets us, do you know what I mean? It sends a shiver up your spine is because it sounds like a screaming monkey. And what person would that not terrify? I know I've laid in bed at night and heard a screaming monkey and thought, oh, that's terrifying. It turned out to be owls a lot of times. There's an owl. What kind of owl is that? It's not a burrow owl. I'm getting that from the Dead Milkman song or something. But a barred owl, that's what it is. A barred owl sounds like a monkey being tortured. I don't know, when I lived in Florida, and they're not, they're excited. It's just like having your room next to a newlywed couple or something, but making the sound of tortured monkeys. But again, they're owls. How about that? And say, oh, that was so wonderful. Thank you. Would you like to cough up some mouse fur and bones now with me? We eat mice all the time in the form of ugly thoughts and insults and things like that, slights. And the key is to be able to digest the guts of it. Someone insults you and say, hey, fatty, or something like that. Or your song sucks, or whatever. The point is to take all the nutrients out of that, because there is. In every insult, there's a wet protein. And you got to suck that out. And then you got to somehow cough up the hair and bones into a little ball, because they can't be digested. And they'll just make you choke. And they're just bad for you. So get that up. I'm here. Hardy White is coming into your life to help you cough things up that you can't digest. Oh, and what if they make it down to my colon? I don't know what to tell you. All I can say is get a little submarine, get inside, and shrink yourself down and go into your own. No, you can't do that. You have to have friends do it. There are some things you cannot do for yourself. Like shrink yourself down small, get into a submarine, and explore your own gut. Only a friend can do that for you. Perhaps one with a medical license would be nice. But we all need other people, don't we? I think we even need insults and criticism sometimes. As much as that makes me feel sick and unable to have a really nice, solid bowel movement, I think it's necessary. But how do we evaluate our lives? Oh, so many of you write and tell me, hey, you owe me money. Not you. I'm talking to somebody else. But so many of the listeners write and say wonderful things, but they say, how do I cope with all this? I'm an artist and everything. I'm having struggles. I thought about it the other day, and that's what I do when people ask me a question. I think about it, sometimes forever. Sometimes I never stop thinking about it because I don't like to come to a solution. I figure if I come up with the answer, that can't possibly be right? Because I've come up with it. But if I think it generates more questions, I know I'm going good. And this is what I thought about being an artist or a scientist or anything. So when you're a child, you look to role models and you say, who do I want to be? That's what you talk like. That's what you sounded like. I did not. Yes, you did. Who do I want to be when I grow up? And you look at all the people. And now, the only people you really have access to are famous people, people everybody knows. So I want to be like Einstein or Picasso, right? Or Alice Neal. And say, oh, well, everybody knows who they are. So you don't know who you don't know, so you can't model yourself on the way that most people live their lives. So you pick these extraordinary people who are famous for whatever reason, luck, or I mean, they're all talented, but what about all the talented people who aren't famous? Why can't you base your life on them? Because you don't know who they are. So we have a distorted view of the world, and we end up comparing ourselves to people we don't even know who they are, but just everybody knows them. I contradicted myself, and I made myself hit the microphone for emphasis. That's what I do. Sometimes inside myself, I have a regulator. And the regulator says, oh, I think you're lying. And I'll accidentally poke myself in the eye, something like that. Anything that's a reflex, you say, now, why is that done? All human bodies are different, right? I mean, they're generally the same, but we're all different. So our moods are different, too, because of different chemicals coursing through your veins, like caffeine or sugar or hormones like gemcitabine or dimethyltryptamine. Say, oh, those don't sound real. Well, they're not, but it doesn't matter because I'm just making a point. And the point is that there's all sorts of things going on that you don't even know what they are. It is like there is a cave. A guy's already done this analogy. Mine's going to be different, yes, but there's already been an analogy of the cave. I swear mine will be different. Okay, go for it. All right, so there's people who live in a cave who only see shadows. No, that's the one the guy did. No, again, mine's going to be different. There's people living in the cave, and they say, hey, we're going to cook something really delicious. And so they start cooking this really delicious food, and the aroma fills the cave. But there's an enlightened person outside the cave, and he can't smell this because he's left the cave. Do you understand? He's expanded his world, but now there's so many things he can't feel. He can't experience what people in the cave experience, so he has a very condescending attitude to others. But listen, the outside of the cave could very much just be the inside of the cave, but with some sort of virtual reality going on. Well, that's complicated and stupid. That's why you're not a philosopher. Granted, but I tell you what, I can help people I know very simply. Oh, it's not hard. Oh, it's not hard. It's not hard to do anything simply. You can be effective with a very let me show you. Here's the humblest of all instruments, the ukulele. Oh, no. Listen, I started playing it again before it was trendy. I swear I did. It's just that I kept playing it, now they've all come back. See, it's every 100 years the ukulele becomes popular. People play it, and then there just comes a point where people go, oh, Lord, don't do that anymore. And then there's always the last ukulele player, like Tiny Tim, and people go, okay, that settles it, no more ukulele. And then people forget, generations go on, then a new generation's born, they go, look at that tiny guitar. That will be much easier to bring to band practice than my cathedral pipe organ. Exactly. See how that works? So I have a ukulele, and it is very much, I believe, a joy machine. It will get anybody, it's hokey and everything, but boy, it can get people singing, and that's what it's for. It's not really for people use it for, you know, try to be fancy on it and everything. But in reality, it's just meant to sort of hold the key while y'all sing a song that everybody knows. Another bride, another June, a sunny honeymoon, another reason, a season for making Whoopee, that Yoko Ono song. So that's what it's really for. But you can just in a really simple way. That's Jethro Tull. See, now, if we were all sitting around in a cave and we had been lost and say, hey, I've gotten a craving for Jethro Tull, but there's no way I can get all my old LPs down here. There's no way I can get my Tech 12s down here into this cave. And say, it just so happened that I fell into this big hole cave well with my ukulele. And say, what is that, a berry uke? Yes, it is. And say, okay. So a simple thing can be effective. And just like a simple person can be effective, given the context. You can't always drag Picasso or Einstein to band practice. Sometimes a little thing. And this is why it's good to be a feeler. I just want you to feel things sometimes. Don't inure yourself to things. Develop a calloused demeanor It sounds like it's not a first language to me, does it? I don't know why I overemphasize. I think because someone pointed this out when I said mirror a couple weeks ago. And yes, it is from talking to people who don't understand English, but it's also because I think sometimes I pronounce words so profoundly incorrectly that I try to pronounce it closer. So I'd say mirror. Mira. Mira, isn't that a character on Star Trek who is still a only and not a grup? That's Miri, I think, but it could be Mira. But that's nothing like the word, right? So I try to overpronounce them so I don't sound, you know, illiterate or uneducated. Why wouldn't you want to sound illiterate? Well, because I know better. And so when you know better, you have an obligation to do better sometimes, right? That's the problem. So, he don't know. You've heard that expression. Like a dog does something. Like my dog will, kill a person and say, he don't know. Like that. And it does absolve you. If you genuinely don't know that something is wrong, or you've, let's say you're in an American cave and you touch a stalagmite and you get kicked out and you get banned from the national cave system forever. But say, he don't know. And say, well, ignorance of the law is no excuse. I think it's a great excuse. I never understood that. I think that's a decent excuse. But once you're told, you know, then it's no longer an excuse. Now, why do we even have laws, Hardy White? And what I say to that is I change the subject and I go back to talking about feelers or the feelies or something like that. Oh, my goodness, we are all on this spaceship together. We are out of food and we're staring at each other. And you look like a donut, but I'll try to control things and just go to sleep and die. No, that's not what we want to do. We want to try to survive as long as we can. Why is that? It's all going to end badly. Anyway, I think because when you're out there feeling and you're reading the Book of Life, which indeed is Pat the Bunny. So what is this Pat the Bunny book you're talking about? Do you recommend it? I do. I highly commend this book to you. I don't know if you can still get it. There's very few books that have a little hole you can stick your finger in, I find, for adults. And this, I don't know, is not really for adults. Very young children, have not experienced the world yet. And you'll see the developmental toys for very young children have things that are all different textures. Say, this is all fluffy. This is all crinkly. One of the great sounds is, you know the cellophane that used to be on cigarette packs? Maybe it still is. I quit smoking. I'm sure not soon enough. But that's a great texture and sound for children, that crinkly cellophane sound. They love that. They don't have that in the womb unless mom's a heavy smoker and somehow there's packs of Marlboro all floating around in there. But all sorts of spongy things and fluffy things. And that's on the Pat the Bunny. One of them is just the nice, soft bunny fur. Right? And bunny, what do bunny teeth feel like? Well, you pet it the wrong way and you'll find out. Because the bunny, it might latch on into you. And then you swinging your hand like that with a bunny hanging off of it. That's comedy, right? If it doesn't hurt a person. But it's important to feel things, and we want to shut them down because it's so difficult. Oh, in this world we live in, there's too much sensory information, Hardy. I can't do it. Sometimes I just have to shut it off. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes the world shuts off its feelings for me. Anyway, if you have depression, say, how would you? You've had it, Hardy. Oh, yes, it's been with me my whole life, like a cousin who keeps showing up at my door. Can I crash here? Oh, I suppose so. And I just know that there's nothing I can do about it, and I just need to tolerate it, and it's going to go away soon, especially if I torment it somehow. But people say, a lot of people have described depression in different ways, but I'd like to describe it as sort of a, you know, the man in the iron mask? I had to wear a helmet, an iron helmet. Imagine that, but made out of like a duvet. So it was like a duvet helmet, duvet mask. So the whole world is like just on the other side of a stifling quilt. And so that all you can experience in this is your own fetid hot breath coming back to you. And it's a good way to check for your bad breath. Say, oh, I'll get depressed. I can smell my own breath. It's not worth it. Just lick your hand or something. That's awful. If you're trying to gain friends by not having bad breath and then you lick your hand, that will have the opposite effect. Say, well, I'm not going near the hand licker. Did you wash those afterwards? I'm just trying to see if my breath is fetid. Trust me, it is. Go brush your teeth. Have a mint. But, bless you. I love you with that. I don't care whether I can barely smell because of my allergies. So we should be together. But that's what it feels like. And now the whole world gets cut off. See, now you're not feeling, right? So all you're doing is feeling the echo of your own horridness. So, oh, I know, Hardy. How do I fight it? Oh, fight it. Keep on fighting. Fight the good fight. I'm giving you an anthem. Sometimes it helps me, at least, to just sort of to defy bad feelings. You know, sometimes they're real. You're not going to get away from somebody dies. You're going to feel terrible. You know, you're going to feel sad because things are sad. Feel sad. But if you're feeling sad and things aren't sad, then maybe you should start clapping your hands. Maybe you should start doing something, moving around. Maybe you should go up to somebody and say, I'd like to do a little dance for you. And then they laugh at you for being ridiculous. But you know, they laughed. And who cares? I got nothing to lose. I got nothing to lose. I've seen a vision of my future and I'm deep in the grave. All those days will come, I know. But right now, I'm getting away with something. That's the way you should feel being alive. I'm getting away with something. I'm alive. And you know, those of us who are not fully qualified, those of us who feel like they're not good enough, we're getting away with the most. I think it's difficult when famous, talented people die because they go, I can't die, I'm David Bowie, or something. It must be hard for them. So I'm a legend. Look, my name's everywhere. I can't imagine existence without me. But those of us humble folks, think, oh yeah, the world would go on just fine without me. They wouldn't miss me, and I would not get a New York Times obituary because I was never a successful real estate salesman in Midtown Manhattan. Oh, but that doesn't matter. I'll tell you why that doesn't matter. It matters because we get to be alive. What if getting to live was some sort of lottery, and we had the most outside chance of getting here, and we got here, and we got to experience it, and we have forgotten how excited we were. We've forgotten how lucky we were because we've started comparing ourselves to others, and oh, that never ends right. First of all, you don't know other people. You don't know what you don't really know them. You don't know what's in their head, and you wouldn't want to switch places with them. Believe me, you wouldn't. You say, you hear all these, not myths, what do you call them, expressions, old saw, you know, you can't walk in another man's shoes unless he's not in them anymore, and he's given them to you, and then they're not his shoes, so you don't know. How would you know, right? Because then they're your shoes. Now you're just walking in your shoes. You could never walk in another person's shoes. It's just not possible. Because just ipso facto, flipto non, they're your shoes now. So it's impossible to put yourself in somebody else's position. You are you, and you're wonderful, and you're just fine. Now, why do you say that all the time to people? You want everybody to be self-satisfied? You know how many truly arrogant people there are in the world? 5. Everybody else is faking. Everybody else is really just feels like a lost child, not me. All right, well, you're one of the 5, then bless you. Go off, do your thing. But the rest of us, we struggle. The rest of us feel like perhaps we're not good enough. We use every situation to compare ourselves and everything. But my goodness, we are a feeler on an ant. So I'm a leg. Legs are good, too. We couldn't get around without them. What is this insect metaphor you're doing? I don't know why. I'm just thinking about ants, and I'm thinking about travel. Did you ever have a bug on your windshield or something? Something goes for a ride like a little caterpillar, and you're thinking, boy, this caterpillar is going to be shocked because it thought it just went a few feet. It didn't know it was getting on something that was going to take it miles and miles away. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes we get on a bus like a caterpillar, and all of us, no, this is a bad, that's a bad analogy. That's not like it at all. I don't know where I'm going. I'm following you, Hardy. Where are you taking me? Oh, I'm embarrassed, but we might be going in, at the very least, we're going in a circle. I won't get you lost. And it does sound like your reasoning is circular. Thank you. This guy gets it. I'm just taking you for a little trip and walk in the woods. The other day, when I was in New Jersey, some friends took me on an outing. Oh, my goodness. I felt like an elderly person getting out of the old folks' home. I was so excited. I didn't want to show how excited I was. I was just playing it cool. But really, I was so thrilled to be going out and doing stuff and having adventures and having, and maybe it was a small adventure, but everything I haven't seen is new to me. And so I try to learn about it, to think about it. Now, next week, I'm going to tell all about my adventures in Clifton and Paterson, New Jersey. Oh, that sounds interesting. Believe me, it was. It was interesting. Now, it may have not been interesting in the time I was there, but, oh, every time I go somewhere, I imagine, what was this place like years ago? What will it be like in the future? And because of my time machine, I can experience it all at once, and then it's overwhelming. Then it's wonderful. Oh, my goodness, if you try to step back and see more and more, it just blossoms like a flower opening up, like a camellia. And you know what? If you're from, I'm from Tallahassee, and we every year the camellias bloom. And we look out and we say, it must be springtime because the camellias bloom. Now, if you don't know what a camellia is, I'll describe it to you. It looks like a very dense rose on a bush with dark foliage. All right, and they get pretty big, these camellia bushes, almost tree size, and these flowers, they're very dense. They have many, many petals, and so they're pink or red or something. And you go up to the camellia and you go, this must smell delightful. And it doesn't smell at all. And then you look closely and you go, this is odd. It's infested with ants. Now, I don't know why this is, but I've never seen a camellia flower that didn't have ants crawling all over it. Isn't that beautiful? So from a distance, you say, oh, look at this beautiful flower. Then you get up closer and you say, oh, good Lord. Not only does it not smell, but now I think I've inhaled a couple ants. I'm so sorry. And the ants go up in your nose, and they get up there, and they live in there. They'll live there for a while, and they don't do any harm. It's a symbiotic relationship. And then because they're up in your nose, they're close to your brain, and the ants begin to read your thoughts. And the ants start to think, hey, this whole time I could have been wearing a hat. I didn't know anything about that. And so the ants start to adorn themselves, and they make hats out of your mucous membranes and dead cells like that, little vests. And they start walking around like people. And the ants evolve, and they have their own political system. And then one ant says, I'm going to start a newspaper. And that ant is Aunt Horace Greeley. And he grows a little neck beard, and he runs for president against Ulysses S. Grant, and then he dies before the election. This is all ant history. You probably don't know about it, because perhaps you haven't looked into it. Oh, the deeper we look into things, the more we see. Now, granted, sometimes we see our own reflection, but what a beautiful thing and how infinite our own reflection can be. Why are you doing that voice? I'm being silly. I'm mocking myself a lot. Have you noticed that? Say, oh, Hardy, do you take yourself seriously? So, yes and no. Yes and no. I know how ridiculous I am. I know how really incapable I am of solving any real problems. But I know, and I've been told this over and over again, and I didn't understand it until I got older, and that is sometimes your mere presence is enough. Sometimes you can help by just showing up. You don't have to be special or anything. I mean, if I need a hand moving chairs, you don't even have to have more than one hand. You know, as long as you can drag that chair over there, you're helpful. And to be helpful is a great feeling. You say, fine, I've done something. Everybody wants to have a purpose. I think that's what drives a lot of our disappointment.
is to think that we are not contributing. Oh, our simple job, there's more ways to live your life than the outside appearance. I'm going to tell you right now that you have an inner life, and your inner life can be anything that you want. You can have any goals and any dreams in that inner life. That inner life can all be about, I'm going to get excited every time I see a new kind of matchbook or something. And people can't take that away from you. You can find joy between the cracks. It doesn't have to be obvious joy. And it doesn't have to be something that's joyful to somebody else. In fact, sometimes it's better that way. Have you ever liked something that nobody else likes? And so it leaves you, oh my goodness, you go into an antique shop and you say, this is heaven for me because all the things I like, you're selling for a penny. And that's great. I don't want the thing that's got a $1,000 price tag on it. I just so happen to be made joyful from this penny cost thing. Oh, and you can do that by going inside and making peace with that, the ants in your nose, with the little people, the little doctors who live in a submarine in your guts. Oh, and you're populated with all this. You are a cave system. Think about it. Think about it. Look at that. If somebody poured molten lead down your throat like they used to in the Middle Ages when you believed the wrong thing, you would come out and say, that looks like an elaborate, beautiful cave system. And things are living in you, little creatures. And you can't see them, so they don't bother you. But I'm sure there's bacteria and all living in your gut. And the bacteria, we don't know if they talk to one another. Cells talk to one another. Somehow, using chemicals and everything, we just don't speak that language. So it would be neat if we spoke with smell. What are you saying? Just smell it. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. I was traveling recently, like I said, and I had to ride on a lot of planes, and it was uneventful. I liked it. Nobody really. There was a couple incidents that were disturbing. One is, people like to put their seat back on very short flights and planes where there's absolutely no room to put your seat back. I don't know. And they don't recline hardly at all. It doesn't seem like you'd make that more comfortable. But what it does do is it slams a piece of metal into my knee. Because if I'm sitting on a plane and the seat, your seat is up in front of me, my knees are still touching it profoundly, like they're digging in. So then when you put your seat back, it actually kind of sort of starts to break the bone a little bit. And so a fella in front of me did this, and I was asleep, and so I yelled an expletive like I do when anybody smashes a hammer into my kneecap while I'm resting. And his reaction was interesting. He slightly turned his head, and then nothing. Now, if I had hurt somebody that I didn't know, I think I would say, oh, my word, I'm sorry. Now, maybe he was embarrassed, and everybody didn't do anything about it. He just let me stay in pain because he wasn't, maybe he felt something and then didn't work on those feelings. See, don't be afraid. Fear makes things worse. If he was afraid because I'd yelled at, I'm sure I sounded angry, you know, he needs to get over that, and you need to step up. And if you hurt, otherwise, your hurt goes into the universe, and it stays there, and it builds. So whenever you put out anything nasty, it doesn't go away unless you get it back, unless you grab it back and say, oh, I didn't mean that nasty to come out. I'm going to put it away again. So when you see nasty things happen in the world, you can just imagine that one of your little nasty creatures that you let out, he could be in that gang of nasty that grouped together to do something awful. You understand? Oh, things have consequences. It seems to me a lot of people don't take responsibility for the bad things they do. That's why I try not to put out anything that's going to hurt anybody. I'm sure I do. And so what I try to let people know is that if I have hurt you, you have been hurt by a fool. And that doesn't count. So forget about me. If I've ever said anything that made you feel hurt or bad, I'm a fool, I'm an idiot. I never meant to do that, so discount it. Oh, I don't want to contribute to any of the misery in the world so much we can't do anything about it. If you're living at the foot of a volcano and that lava comes and spews upon you, that is no fault of man. We've done nothing to do that. So I tell you, that happens all the time, and we got to have our energy. We got to have our strength to deal with those who are covered with lava. I guess there's not much you can do at that point, but all the other misery, all the man-made misery, starving people, wars, that could all be eliminated overnight.
How? Things are spread.
It could. Everybody has that will to change. They don't have to do these things. You see, they just say no. Now, will it happen overnight? Probably not. But see, it can. Unlike an earthquake or a volcano, things spread. We don't have to let them spread. Now, when terrible things happen, what's our reaction? So I can't do anything about evil going on the other side of the world, about war, about murder. I can't do anything about it, can I? And then people make fun of me and say, oh, I'm praying and thinking of you. Say, well, that's not doing anything. All right, well, then I'll do nothing. Well, that's really super doing nothing. So what do you do? Well, the first step really is thinking about it. So you say, you know, you can make fun of prayer and everything, but the best kind is just a reminder to yourself that bad things happen. Now, you can call it what you want, but it's good to wake up in the morning and say, I am opening my eyes. There are those who can't open their eyes. There are those who are blind, either literally or figuratively, but my eyes are open. I'm now standing upon my floor. There are those who can't stand. There are those who are captives. There are those who can't leave their rooms. I recognize this and remember this as I go into the world. Oh, I think about I'm hungry. Remember that those are hungry. There's people that don't have donuts waiting for them in the kitchen. And if you wake up and you think about and meditate on all these things that you're able to do that others might not be able to do, you are more inclined to do something about it in the day than if you just delude yourself and think that nothing is wrong. Oh, so there's nothing wrong with telling yourself, make a note to do something about this. Be a reminder. Be a feeler. Now, a lot of those feelers on insects, we say, oh, well, those are antenna, or antennae, or antennasis, or antennas. And they're really feelers. They're not getting any radio signals from outer space. How do you know? I don't know that necessarily. It'd be interesting if insects were getting radio. I wonder what insects are picking up. A lot of early rock and roll bands were named after bugs. So perhaps they knew something that we didn't know. Say, if I'm more likely to get radio play from the insects that run everything if I have an insect name for my band. And perhaps they are little radio receivers. We do not know whether WFMU is actually broadcasting to bugs. And I'm going to have to think about it for a while, but I don't know what that would mean. They go, I wonder if any of them pledged. I think I had one of those names. It seemed foreign, but I think it was just a Latin name for cockroach or something. I do not know. Cockroach, oh, they're disgusting. Not if you're another cockroach. Cockroach is a perfect little being. Cockroach has evolved to the point where it doesn't have to evolve much anymore. It's just about right. There are some creatures that are just about right. And we misuse the word evolve, as I pointed out in my live show, a lot to mean something getting better. But sometimes it's just enough. Water bear. Why would a water bear have to evolve anymore? It's already nearly eternal and indestructible, and it's cute. So where is there to go from that? If you're cute and basically indestructible, why would you need to change anything? Say, well, you can't do higher math. I can do math higher than you, but I can't do higher math. But that's okay. I can't make a spaceship, but I can make a spaceship in my mind, and I can go places inside of my head. Oh, that I can do. And spaceship designers, they can do that too. So we're equal, aren't we? I'm just less productive, perhaps. Who are you, Hardy White? Nobody? But wouldn't you rather have nobody as a friend than nobody as a friend? That sounds weird. Yes, it's like I got that from Ulysses or something. No man is in this cave. Nemo, call me Nemo. That's my new autobiography. Call me Nemo. I want to be no man. I want to be no one. I feel better if I was, but then I'd be free. Oh, I'd be free if I had no identity. People wouldn't expect anything of me. People would never say, this I don't get. So is that hurtful to you? I would like to say I don't care what people think, but that's not entirely true, because as a feeler or a feelor, I do care. All right, and I listen, and I don't just reject it out of hand, right? So I care what people think, and I let things hurt me, but only for a little while, just enough so I can digest it, just enough so I can suck out the pithy protein of it and cough up those bones and hair. Yes, I let things in, but I don't let them stay. They are guests. Father Abraham in the Bible invited guests into his home all the time. He feared no man. And let me tell you, the desert can be a rough place. You don't know who's coming by. Say, I'd like to come in your tent. All right, come on in, friend. It must have been nerve-wracking. But I tell you, I wanted to help all people, be everybody's father. Abraham. It means everybody's father, or something like that. But that must have been, but you know what? He didn't let him stay. He said, all right, bye. So you invite these things in, no matter whether they're wicked or good. Let them in, but you don't have to let them stay. Oh, be a bed and breakfast to feelings. Just come on in and make yourself at home. Breakfast is served from 8 to 9. We will have fresh squeezed orange juice. We will have pain au chocolat. You like that? It's like a croissant with chocolate in it. I'm going to have a variety of fruit and maybe have some yogurt for people, for British folks, and yogurt for American folks. And then you can go, and we recommend that you leave the bed and breakfast then and go do some hiking and exploring in the beautiful surroundings of Llewellyn Llamacach or something. I don't know, it's Wales, I think we're in. And then you can come back at night, and you can crawl into the beautiful bed. That's an antique bed. The mattress is made of straw, just like it was with our ancestors. Oh, that's not too good for my allergies. I had a terrible night's sleep. I don't think I want to live at this bed and breakfast. That's good, because it wasn't intended for you to live here. This is just a temporary thing. Oh, the world is a bed and breakfast. The entire world is a bed and breakfast. We come in and we have breakfast. That's childhood. And we go to bed. That's our death at the end. So that's what it is. And everything in between is you exploring the countryside. You leave that home, you go out, and you say, I'm going to explore the countryside, and then I'm going to go back in, and I'm going to have my final rest. Because that's not the point. It's not that old antique room that makes you sneeze. No, sir. It's going out there and discovering. And that's what happened on my last trip to New Jersey. I went to places that were familiar to people living there. Maybe they forgot to see things, you know, that I started to see with fresh eyes. And you can't make up fresh eyes. The first time you see something and it's all new to you, oh, that's a beautiful time. Open your eyes. Don't let yourself be blinded. Don't let slideshows of the past obscure your current vision. Think only of what's going on right now, and look and explore and learn. And you'll learn so much about people, too. And the more that you observe, and the more that you let yourself feel, the more information you'll know about people. And you'll be able to figure them out a little better. And you will actually navigate the world a little more easily. You will not bump heads with people as much. People are like rams. Oh, yes, they are. They think because they have bony skulls that they can crash into anything with impunity, crash into other skulls, bump into one another with impunity, and nothing will happen. Oh, but eventually your skull cracks open and your brains ooze out and they run onto the floor, and you're going, how am I going to get these brains back in my head? Oh, the vessel has been cracked. So don't crack your head vessel. Don't crack it open, button heads. Find a way to work around it. Goats also can navigate the most rocky slopes. They can practically walk up a vertical incline and rock. How do they do that? They make, because they're so present. Because every step, they know where that step is going to be. And they put that hoof on that rock. And then they bring their weight up onto it. And they know where they are at any given moment. They are in the present. They're not thinking, man, I can't believe Jimmy Goat or Billy. That's a better name for goat. Billy Goat. I'm going to say Jimmy, though, because it's against type. Jimmy Goat insulted me like that, called me mohair. I don't have hair like Mo. And he said, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking about this instead of where I'm going. And now I might slip on a rock. How could Jimmy Goat and his insult make me slip on a rock a day later? Only if you let it. He's not there. It's only in your head. You control your head. You are the doorman to your head. You don't have to let everything in. You control it. Oh, my goodness. You're given a world, an infinite world inside that brain. And you don't have to mess it up with letting things in, scary things in all the time. Let it all in and let them back out. Just like your Basil Fawlty at Fawlty Towers. Say, it's time to go now. All right? You, Manuel. No, Manuel works here. Don't kick him out. He's necessary. He and Polly are actually running the place. All right? Now, what are Polly and Manuel and your psyche? You go figure it out. What a fun game for you to play this afternoon or tomorrow or whatever. So, oh, yes. We need, and Manuel says to you, I learn English. I learn from a book. Yes. And a lot of things I learn from books. Other people's feelings. I can't be in everybody's head, past or present, right? And so I read. I look into other lives through the evidence they've left. And that lets me experience what they're experienced just a little bit. It lets me know something about their lives. People even do that online. Say, oh, people are so confessional. I don't mind at all. I like people, confessional people on the social media because I get to learn something about them. I get to learn about what they're going through. It's not all going to be me. Not everybody has your experience. Oh, I'm embarrassed for so-and-so saying this. How can you be embarrassed for somebody else? That's their life. You're the ones embarrassed because you're afraid of your own weakness. You can't be embarrassed for somebody else, right? So just let them do what they do. And they're giving you a gift, the gift of insight into their mind, into their feelings. And that is something precious. And you'll be able to use that. And you'll be able to make your own book about how to travel, your own art of travel, which is a real book. And when you see my live show that I did up in New Jersey, you'll learn all about that. But you can make your own reference book about how to navigate this life. If that was actually the original text to Rudyard Kipling's poem, If. I like it better. He came up with that. He was hallucinating. He said, I got a great poem. It goes like this. If. And his contemporaries were like, no, come on now. Say something hokey. But if you let things in, you will learn. And if you learn, you will know what to do more. And you will be able to navigate this cave system because you will have maps. You will have wonderful maps and charts and pictures and words and poems that will guide you. You will have songs that tell you which way to go. You have all these things within you, recitations. You have hymns and sermons. You will have a beautiful drosh, and this will tell you, what do I do? Where do I go? Oh, my friends, I'm so thankful to be with you. I'm on the radio now with you. I'm on the radio, we're together. This is radio like it used to be, but never quite was, right? Was it ever like this? It was, but you hadn't heard it because it was on obscure AM radio station somewhere, but nobody was paying attention. That's the reality. All you've heard about are famous people. You haven't heard about all the people you haven't heard about. You haven't heard all the voices. Listen to every voice, no matter how insignificant. Listen to them all. Don't wait for somebody to tell you something is important or popular before you go search it out. Look for all art. Look for the art of the small little children. Go into a bank building. All right? And then go up to an exhibit of children's art. They've always got something of children's art contest in public places. Now I want you to spend time with those pictures as much as you'd spend time looking at a mother well or something. As much as time you'd say, oh, look at that Bouguereau. I will spend some time looking at that. Look at that Ong. But instead, look at that Timmy Moore. Look at that Laura Phillips. All right? Age 5. Look at her art. And you will learn just as much. She's expressing herself with all of her skill, just as much as anybody who's trained. And let all that in. Feel it all. Notice. Be a noticer. Take the blinders off. Take the sunglasses off. Take the contact lenses off that make you look like a scary Japanese ghost child. Oh, there's some terrifying movies. I have to let them in and then let them out again. I have to make friends with terrifying images, too, because they are all the time in my head as well. I get something scary or I see something and I think about it, so I got to confront it. I have to go up to people who might scare me or kill me in my head and say to them, I know you're fitting to blow me up and everything. I just want to look in your face and say, I'm another person. I know you're another person. And I know what you're doing is wrong. But I just wanted to connect this one last moment, let you know what you're doing. I want to talk to everybody. I don't know who's listening to my voice out there. And I don't know what kind of anger you have. I don't know what kind of bitterness you might have or anything. But I just want to tell you this. I'm absolutely helpless. I don't know what to do in this life. I have fears. I have all sorts of things going on. I'm just a person. I got people I love. There's little children I love. There's old people I love. And I really try not to hurt others. I really try not to bring pain. If pain has been brought to you, it is against my will. I don't want that for you. I am your brother, your sister. But the gender's not important. What I am, I'm your sibling. I'm your uncle. We are related. Do a blood test. Everybody on this whole planet, all the human beings, all the creatures, we're related. And we all have affection and love and everything for some. And I just want you to know that if your acceptance is contingent on hate, if somebody has drawn you into a scheme of hate, it doesn't have to be that way. Free yourself. Run. There are others who will take you and embrace you. You don't have to. Love feels better, my friend. The hate will wear you down and kill you. It will not bring you a reward. Come to this side of affection. Come to the side of feeling. Come on, be vulnerable with the rest of us. Come on, cry with us. Cry with the mushy-headed. Come on, cry with the silly. Cry with those who don't know not to confess, who don't know not to express themselves, who have silly wishes, who like stupid things. Come to us. Come on now. You don't hear from us because we're shy. You don't hear from us because we're weak. But I tell you what, I feel like we are an army. And so I want you to open your heart and come to that, my friend, if you're feeling that. I want to be there for you. Oh, can't leave it on that. Can't leave it on a heavy. So here, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. Here, I'm going to play this. If you're feeling sad, I'm sorry if you're feeling bad. There's probably nothing I can do. But I can be with you. I can feel it with you. If we share the bad feeling, then the bad feeling gets lighter. I don't mind helping you move. I don't mind helping you lift your couch. Then it's just a small job for both of us instead of a big job for one of us. Do you understand? life will not be enhanced with enemies. You are listening to Hardy Wyatt, Miracle Nutrition, on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for being with me, and I will see you all again next week, my friends.
Atomic telephone and get him on the line. Hey, I have talked to Jesus
on the atomic telephone.
Fuller than no man knows his power.
Oh,
only God alone.
Oh, all
it can cure the sick or destroy their.
people power, known by God alone.
Oh, for this call to heaven, there will be no choice. Just like old man Noah, who prayed from an ark, you can ask your God just what to do. He'll lead you from the wilderness and out of the dark.
Yeah, I got talked to Jesus on the atomic telephone.
Yeah,
no man knows his power, only God alone. It can cure the sick or destroy their evil. With one sweep of power, known by God alone.
Yeah,
I have talked to Jesus on the atomic telephone.
Oh, then
no man knows his power, only God alone.
All of them,
it can cure the sick or destroy their evil. With one sweep of power, known by God alone.
I won't have to cry no more. Lord, in your
heaven, no more.
When I go home,
no, no.
Jesus,
heaven, no more.
I got a brand new home.
No, no.
Hey, won't be
no, no.
Jesus,
heaven, no more.
I won't ever have to cry no more.
Jesus, heaven, no more.
There won't be
no, no.
Lord, Lord,
heaven, no more.
No more dying.
No, no.
Jesus,
heaven.
Are tuned to Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast here on WFMU. My name is Kevin Nutt, and we were just listening to the great Traveling Echoes, the Ridley family from Louisville, Kentucky. Never No More. Yes, on the Aquarian record label in 1964. And right before that, we heard the great Spirit of Memphis Quartet singing about that atomic telephone. And the beginning of the Cold War, atomics, atomic bombs, the subject of many, many gospel songs and country songs. The Spirit of Memphis Quartet and the great Silas Steele on lead there on the King record label about 1950. The Spirit of Memphis Quartet, one of the great quartets of the gospel era, golden era, and the Traveling Echoes getting us underway here this evening on Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU.